The title of the sermon this morning is The Biblical Doctrine of Justification. We are in the book of Galatians, just going verse by verse. And 2017, just a few years ago, marked the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And if you're not a Roman Catholic, if you're not Greek Orthodox, then you are a Protestant, and you're a child of the Protestant Reformation. And the Protestant Reformation really started in 1517 with Martin Luther. There were a few figures that were important that were before him, but he was really the spearhead, the major reformer, Martin Luther. And he was a Catholic monk, an Augustinian monk from Germany. And he really set out to purify, to reform the Roman Catholic Church, of which he was a part. And when his efforts were rejected, well, he began to kind of start his own church, and then other churches were started. Eventually, other denominations were started, Protestant denominations, and that's where we come in. We are children of the Protestant Reformation. And what is the Protestant Reformation all about? Well, a few weeks ago, I talked about the five solas. Sola fide, or by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, in Scripture alone. But if you could boil down the Protestant Reformation to one word, it would be justification. The word justification summarizes what the Protestant Reformation was all about. And really, justification by faith alone. That's what the big controversy was about. That's what the big split was about. Justification by faith alone. Today, we're going to learn what that means. R.C. Sproul said this is the cardinal doctrine of the Protestant Reformation. The Puritan Thomas Watson said that an error about justification is dangerous, like a defect in a foundation. It's so important that you get the doctrine of justification correct in your mind. So that's what Galatians is all about. The book of Galatians is all about the doctrine of justification. So remember the context of Galatians. After Paul started several churches in that region of the Roman Empire in Galatia, he moved on, and then some false teachers followed him. And they went into those churches, and they began to say, it's not enough for you to have faith in Christ to be a Christian. You also need to become Jewish. You need to follow the law. You need to earn your righteousness by being a good person. And so in response to that false teaching and those doctrinal errors, Paul wrote this letter of Galatians, and he sent it to them. And so let's read Galatians 2, 11 through 21, and then we'll talk about justification. He says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, remember Cephas is another name for Peter, the Apostle Peter. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, if you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, and yet because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This is so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So Paul is defending the doctrine of justification by faith alone right here. And he uses Peter as an example. Paul at this time, his base of operations was the church in Antioch, and Peter had come to visit. And Peter knew that we're not saved by being Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to become saved. You don't have to follow the law to be saved, the law of Moses to be saved. He received a special vision from God, if you remember, in Acts chapter 10 with that sheet coming down with all the animals on it. And the message of that vision is Gentiles don't need to become Jewish in order to be saved. And so right after that, Peter went to a Gentile's house, Cornelius, and he preached to Cornelius and his household, and all of these Gentiles became Christians without becoming Jewish. And so Peter, if anybody knew, Peter knew the doctrine of justification by faith alone. But at the church in Antioch, Peter visited, and at first he's eating with the Gentiles. In other words, he's eating non-kosher food. And he's sending the message through his behavior that, hey, Gentiles, you don't need to become Jewish in order to be saved, in order to be accepted by God, to become a child of God. But then these Jewish men show up from Jerusalem, these Jewish Christians, and Peter separates himself then from the Gentiles and only eats with the Jews, only eating kosher food. So now he's sending the message to the Gentiles that, hey, it's not enough to have faith in Christ. You also need to become Jewish, get circumcised, follow all the dietary laws, the law of Moses. And then Paul goes on in the rest of this passage to explain that Peter is being a hypocrite, and that we are not justified by works, we are justified by faith alone. And so we see a few facts here about justification. Number one, if you're taking notes, justification is man's greatest need. It's man's greatest need. The topic of justification is the very reason that Paul wrote this letter, to clear this up. The topic of justification became a controversy between two of the most important figures in the history of Christianity, two apostles, Peter and Paul. They are arguing about this. There's a controversy about this. And then in this very passage that we're reading, the word justification or justify, it's mentioned three times. It's a very important subject. The Bible teaches that there is coming a day of judgment, when all of us, we will have to stand before God, and God will decide who will go into heaven and who will go to hell. And those who are righteous, God lets them into heaven. Those who are unrighteous, God sends them into eternal hell. And so man's greatest need is, how can I get to the place where God will declare me on that day righteous? How can I become worthy in the eyes of God, accepted by God, so he'll let me into heaven rather than send me into hell? And so justification is one of the many words the Bible uses to describe our salvation. There's adoption. The Bible describes our salvation in terms of adoption and redemption and sanctification and glorification. Justification is a salvation word. It's a synonym for salvation, but it talks about salvation in a particular way. The definition for you of justification: to be justified means that on judgment day, God declares you righteous and allows you into heaven. On judgment day, God declares you righteous and allows you into heaven. The Greek word to justify is actually a legal term. It's a forensic term. It's a judicial term, and it means literally to declare righteous. To justify someone is to declare them righteous. Declare them legally righteous. The opposite would be to condemn them, to declare them condemned and needing punishment. J.I. Packer, the theologian, he said, to be justified means to be acquitted, accepted, reinstated, set right with God. And so that's man's ultimate need, more than anything else, is on that day that we meet God, how can I be counted righteous, declared righteous, and allowed into heaven, rather than unrighteous and be sent into forever hell? J.I. Packer said that justification, by which we mean God's forgiveness of the past together with his acceptance for the future, is the primary and fundamental blessing of the gospel, is not in question. Justification is the primary blessing because it meets our primary spiritual need. We all stand by nature under God's judgment. His law condemns us. Guilt gnaws at us, making us restless and miserable, in our lucid moments afraid. We have no peace in ourselves because we have no peace with our Maker. So we need the forgiveness of our sins and assurance of a restored relationship with God more than we need anything else in the world. And this the gospel offers us before it offers us anything else. So that's the first thing. Justification is man's greatest need. And then number two, the second thing we learn in this passage is that justification can be found. It can be found. There is a way to be justified. So the Bible says that all lawbreakers will be condemned on judgment day and sent to hell, and only the righteous will be allowed into heaven. Well, there's a problem with that. None of us are righteous. All of us are sinful. On the one hand, God is a righteous judge. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot permit sin. He can't look the other way. He can't excuse it. He is absolutely committed to doing what is right as a just judge. On the other hand, we are sinful, hopelessly sinful, and deserve punishment. We are not righteous. And so while justification is our greatest need, it's also our biggest problem. We have to be righteous to get into heaven, or declared righteous to get into heaven, but we're not righteous. William Hendrickson, he said, "Neither poverty, nor disease, nor pain, nor imprisonment is man's bitter woe. To remove any or all of these is not his most pressing need. His unbearable curse is the fact that by nature he is a child of wrath. He has no peace, but only a terrifying expectation of judgment, so that he cannot even fully enjoy the natural blessings which God bestows upon him. What he needs more than anything else is to have his guilt removed. How can man be just with God is the question which he must have an answer." So is it possible to be justified before God? Is it possible to be accepted by God? And the good news is that this passage here says, yes, we can. There is a way. So if you look at Galatians 2:16 again, Paul says, "We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." So there is a way to be justified. Even though we're lawbreakers, even though we're unrighteous, there is a way to be found righteous, declared righteous on judgment day. That's good news. That's why the Bible calls it the gospel, which means good news. It's wonderful news for us sinners. Some people complain about the doctrine of hell, that there is an eternal hell. The good news is that nobody has to go there. God has provided a way for us to be declared righteous on judgment day, and this passage tells us how. That's number three. Third fact about justification is justification is not by the works of the law. Paul makes this abundantly clear in this passage. If you look at verse 16 again, Paul says, "We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, because by the works of the law, no human will be justified." What does Paul mean by the works of the law? He's talking about following the rules of the Bible, trying to be a good person, trying to earn your way to heaven by being good enough for God to accept you. And Paul says a person is not justified that way. You will not become righteous that way. You will not be declared righteous in God's sight that way, by trying to earn it, by following the law with your effort. Why? Why can nobody get to heaven by trying to be righteous? Because we're not righteous. It's impossible. All of us are sinful. And that's the point that Paul is trying to make. Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." So when Paul says that no one will be justified by the law, will be declared righteous by following the works of the law, he's not saying that the law is stupid, that the law is pointless, that God's rules are insignificant, that we can just disregard them. He's saying no one will be justified by the works of the law because, logically, no one follows the works of the law. We are all sinful. Nobody measures up perfectly. None of us can actually become or be righteous. So let's look at Paul's full argument here in verses 15 through 16. He says, "We are Jews by birth." He's talking about he and Peter. "We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified." So the Jews consider the Gentiles to be sinners because the Gentiles didn't have God's law given to them like the Jews did. And so the Gentiles, they're not living according to God's law. Most of them don't know God's laws. And so Gentile sinners is what he means. And so Paul is saying, me and Peter, even though we're Jews, We're not Gentile sinners. We have God's law, but even though we have God's law, even us, Peter, we don't rely upon the law because we can't keep the law. Even us Jews, even though we have the law, we can't keep it. We don't measure up. We have failed. And so we know that there's no way that the law can save us, that by following the law, we can be justified. Roman Catholics teach the opposite of this. And this is important because we're talking about the Protestant Reformation, the break of the Protestants from the Roman Catholic Church. And so Roman Catholic theology teaches the opposite of justification by faith alone. So Roman Catholics teach that salvation is by the works of the law. Now, yes, you need Christ, and you need Christ's death, and you need to believe in Christ. But what they teach is that whenever you get baptized, you experience initial justification. And essentially what that means is that God grants you access then and there to heaven. Now, you have access to heaven immediately when you get baptized, whether you're a baby or an adult. You're justified right then and there. You're given access to heaven. That's initial justification. However, for the rest of your life, you need to become actually righteous in your behavior, in your morality, if you want to go to heaven when you die. So that when you die, if there is still sin in your life, you don't go to heaven. You go to purgatory, where your soul is purged, where it is purified for maybe a year, maybe a million years, until you actually achieve righteousness in your morality, in your character. And only when you actually achieve righteousness does God declare you righteous and allow you into heaven. In response to that, in protest to that, the reformers came along and said, no. The Bible says no one will be justified by the works of the law. You cannot be justified by trying to be righteous in and of yourself and in and of your own effort. We're not saved and justified by being righteous, but by faith in Christ. Salvation is not by works, it's by grace. It's by grace. And so this is put over and over again in Scripture. The opposite of salvation by works is by grace, which means a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Titus 2, 5 says, "He saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy." So Paul is very clear on this point throughout the book of Galatians. Remember, this is the whole point of the book of Galatians. And so as we're going through this book, this letter, if it sounds repetitive, some of the sermons, it's because that's the point of the whole letter, is justification by faith. And so in Galatians 3:10, Paul says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed." So he says, all those who rely on the works of the law, if you're trying to get to heaven by being good enough, you're cursed. You are headed for eternal condemnation. Why? He says, because everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. If you're relying upon the works of the law, you got to keep it perfectly. Otherwise, you are cursed. And that means we're all cursed if we're relying upon the works of the law, because nobody is perfect. He says it differently in Galatians 5:4. He says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace." So if you're trying to get to heaven by being a good person, by measuring up to the Bible standards, by keeping the rules, by being religious enough, you're separated from Christ. There's two types of people. You're either relying upon works, or you're relying upon salvation as a gift. It's either a free gift or it's by works. Okay? And that leads to number four, the fourth fact about justification. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't be justified, you can't be declared righteous by God on Judgment Day by works, because nobody is righteous. So how can you possibly be justified? By faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16 puts it clear. It says, and yet because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. So Paul couldn't make this any clearer. He says it over and over again, not by the works of the law, we're justified by faith. God doesn't declare us righteous because we have achieved righteousness. He declares us righteous because we have faith in Christ. Now, this doesn't seem right on the surface. If that doesn't seem right, it shouldn't. It shouldn't seem right that on judgment day, unrighteous people stand before a holy and righteous judge and he declares them righteous just because they believe. How is that possible? See, God, remember, he is just. He is righteous. He's absolutely committed to doing what is right all the time. He can't just overlook sin and pretend it didn't happen. He has to punish sin. So how can a righteous judge declare unrighteous people righteous? That sounds like a lie. Well, that's where your understanding of the cross comes in. You have to understand that's what the cross is all about. Look what Paul says in Galatians 2:21. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So Paul here is talking about the ground or the basis of our justification, which is the death of Christ. We are unrighteous. We deserve condemnation. How can God declare us righteous? Well, Christ came to earth and he was punished for our sins. He was punished in our place on the cross. So that now God, he doesn't have to punish us. He's still righteous because he punished our sin in the person of Christ. And so now God can now declare us righteous because all of our sins have been paid for. Now, to receive this gift, we have to have faith. We have to believe. And that's what this is saying. So, the death of Christ is the basis or the ground for our justification. That's how it's possible. Jesus died. He paid for our sins so God can declare us righteous because all of our sins were counted against Christ. But what is the means of receiving this gift? How do you appropriate this to your life? How do you apply what Jesus did to yourself? You got to believe. That's where faith comes in. You have to believe in what Jesus did, that he died and he died for sins, including your sins. He paid the full penalty on the cross. Now contrast this with the Roman Catholic doctrine of justification, which says that to receive initial justification, you have to be baptized. And then after your initial justification, you have to actually achieve righteousness in order to be declared righteous. In response to this, the Protestants said, no, you cannot achieve personal righteousness. You're a sinner. Instead, you receive it by faith in Christ. Christ achieved the righteousness for us, and we receive that gift by faith, not by baptism or any other church ritual. J.I. Packer, he said, justification frees one forever from the need to keep the law or try to, as the means of earning life. So the doctrine of justification by faith alone, it frees us from the obligation of trying or of having to try to keep the rules in order to go to heaven. Because of Christ, we don't have to try to measure up to a certain standard to get to heaven. Now, this doesn't mean that obeying God and honoring God and following the commands of Scripture isn't important. It acknowledges that it's impossible to do it perfectly enough to be accepted into heaven. And the only way we can get into heaven is by acknowledging, I'm a sinner. There's no way I can get to heaven on my own merit. And so I'm going to put all my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me. And then out of gratitude, I'll live a life that honors Jesus Christ. This is, as Christians, we still try to be obedient to the Lord, to try to become like Christ. But our motive is different. It's not to earn salvation. It's out of gratitude for salvation. Paul goes on to summarize the doctrine of justification in verses 17 through 20. Look at verse 17. He says, but if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. So Paul says, if Jews, if they stop trying to obey the law in order to get to heaven, does that mean Christ is now promoting sin? And Paul turns the argument around. He says, no, actually, the true lawbreaker is the one who tries to get into heaven by keeping the law, because you can't. And then in verse 19, Paul says something kind of interesting. He says, for through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. What does that mean? For through the law, I died to the law. What Paul is saying is that as a Jew, he was a Jew, as a Jew seeking righteousness by his own merit, he came to the realization that it was impossible. So through law keeping, he realized he can't keep the law. And so then he died to the law. He died to that effort, to that goal, and he threw himself at the mercy of Jesus Christ, put all of his hope and faith in Jesus Christ, so that now he can live for God. The only way to have a right relationship with God and actually live for God is to admit that you are a sinner. You don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve justification. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Only then can you be right with God. And then verse 20, a very famous verse, often misquoted and misapplied. This verse is not necessarily about commitment to Christ. This verse is about justification by faith alone. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, I have been killed with Christ, and I no longer live. In other words, the old me that used to try to get to heaven by being good enough has died. It died with Christ. That old me no longer lives, trying to earn heaven by being good enough. He says, but Christ lives in me. The reason why I get to go to heaven is not because of me, but because of Christ. It's because of Christ and what he's done for me. And then he says, the life I now live in the body, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As I mentioned earlier, the greatest leader of the Protestant Reformation was Martin Luther. Luther went to law school per the desires of his father. But one day during a thunderstorm, lightning struck nearby, freaked him out. He thought he was going to die. And so he made a promise to God, actually to Saint Anne. He said, if you'll save me from this, I'll become a priest. I'll become a monk. And so that's what he did. He kept his promise. He became an Augustinian monk. In Germany, and the life of a monk was very, very demanding. It included renunciation of self-will, a scant diet, rough clothing, prayer vigils in the middle of the night, hard work during the day, a vow of poverty and celibacy, mortification of the flesh, the shame of begging, prayers 7 times a day. The more he fulfilled these duties as a priest, as a monk, the more sinful he felt, the more he realized, I just can't do it. I can't measure up. And so he was terrified of judgment. He was terrified of hell. You see, in the Roman Catholic theology, there are two types of sins. There's venial sins and mortal sins. A lot of you were Roman Catholic at one point. You know what I'm talking about. Venial sins are sins that are not as serious, but mortal sins are serious sins that cause you to actually lose your justification, lose your salvation. And so if you lose your justification, if you commit a mortal sin and you die, you go to hell, and there's no getting out. So if you commit a mortal sin, in order to get re-justified or re-saved, you got to go through the sacrament of penance. You got to go through confession and do whatever the priest tells you to do to get re-justified. Well, Martin Luther was terrified that he was going to commit a mortal sin and then die before he had a chance to confess. He was also afraid that he wouldn't remember all of his sins, because you got to remember it in order to confess it. And so he would spend hours confessing, sometimes up to 6 hours at a time, confessing his sins. I mean, to be honest, he was taking the doctrine seriously. And he was trying his best to get to heaven by his own good works. Finally, another priest that was over him suggested that he become a college professor. You go teach philosophy. And so he took a post teaching philosophy, and he was teaching through Scripture, and he came across the verse that changed his life. And it's actually in the book of Galatians. We'll get to it next week. It's the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, the way to achieve the righteousness that we need for heaven is not actually to become righteous, but to have faith in Jesus Christ, who was perfectly righteous and who paid for my sins. And so at that moment, as he was studying that verse, he changed completely. And that's when he began to lead the Protestant Reformation. Luther called the doctrine of justification by faith alone the article by which the church stands or falls. See, there's two kinds of people in the world, those who are trying to get to heaven by their own good works, by their own performance, and those who realize, I can't do that. I'll never be good enough to get to heaven on my own accord. And so I'm just going to throw myself at the mercy of Jesus. I'm going to put my trust and faith in Jesus. He paid for my sins and rose again. Two kinds of people. Justification means that on judgment day, God declares you righteous and allows you into heaven. But you know what? Justification actually doesn't happen on judgment day. It happens the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's like a gift. God gives you the gift of justification the moment you become a Christian, but then you actually open it on judgment day. But you receive that gift, you receive that promise the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you never lose it. It's never revoked. The question is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, or are you still relying upon good works? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. In the Word, we thank you so much for Jesus, Lord, that you pay the penalty for our sins and that we don't have to try to get to heaven by being good because we can't measure up. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for what he's done. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to put all of our hope and faith in Jesus and not in ourselves. If there's anybody here this morning, Lord, who needs salvation, we pray, God, that you would save them. Lord, do a miracle, just like you did in my life and in the lives of so many people here. Do a miracle and save that person.